Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Life is good.
Yes.
Can you say amen to that? Life is good. Here you go, brother. Give that to somebody. Just hand it to somebody on your way down. They'll know what to do with it. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Lee. Thank you. You remember we prayed for Chuck T's father, Charles. He was having quadruple bypass. Well, he is home and doing well. That's awesome. Let's see, Mary Higgins. Yes, you. Yeah, I'm right here. She told me this morning that that week that we the Lord called out something about the Spurs, heel Spurs. Yeah. It said she's healed. Amen. And been healed since then. Amen. And let's see, Charlotte, Elliot. There you are, front row. You had to wave at me. You had some things going on with your heart.
Gastric. Stomach and esophagus.
Yeah. And you are healed.
Yes.
Stand up if you're healed. You know, part of the song that we had was about the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. I tell you what, he has been squeezing my heart all through worship, and I didn't know if I was going to make it. I said, Lord, I'm a mess, so you're going to have to fix this up, but I'm okay being a mess. I really am. So who else has been healed? Lord has touched your body or your emotions, and you know without a doubt you are healed. Stand up. Just stand up. You've had a healing in your life. Look at this. I want y'all to look at this. Look. I didn't hear him. Give him praise. He's worth it. Oh, he's so good. He's so good. Yes, Lord, you're good. Thank you for your healing. You know, I sort of feel bad for people that don't believe in healing.
Yeah.
There's not much of an alternative. Lord bless her. What did you say?
You were saying. Were you asking for healing in this past week alone or in the last? No,
just healing. Yeah, yeah. Did you get healing this past week?
No, but in my lifetime.
In your life, yeah. Can you give a testimony? I guess you can. Do you have one?
All right. When I first got saved, I used to carry a Kleenex box around with me all day. I had horrible allergies. I had gone to Duke. I had had all the testing down my back. I was allergic to everything but white meat of turkey and white rice. Because I'm a North Carolina girl, I love pines. I love pine cones. I love pine anything. And I was highly allergic. Okay, I was giving myself injections at home on a daily basis. My best friend that brought me to the Lord said, did you know that you could have healing in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus? And I went, really? And I took all my serum out of my refrigerator, all of my syringes, and threw them in the trash and never looked back.
Wow. Yeah.
Let me say this concerning that. Make sure you get a word from God. Y'all hearing me? Don't go and clean out all your medicine cat. Make sure you get a word from God. And if God's given you that word, then do it. Amen? Now, if he can do it for her, he can do it for you, he can do it for all of us. Is that good? Yeah, I want to pause just for a moment and just take the time to say something that God was squeezing my heart about during worship. And all these guys from Out of the Ashes, stand up if you don't mind. I don't want to embarrass you or anything. I want you to stand up. Man, I tell you, it does my heart so good. My soul, my mind, my will, and emotions are squeezed by God when I see you guys come in. We love you. We're so glad you're here. And I see your lives changing, being baptized, and then I see each one of you guys walk up and give something to the Lord. I'm glad you're here. You are welcome in this house. We love you. We love you. We love you. Amen. Amen. Yeah, he's still a mess, but he's going to get through it. He really is. And that I'll come off of that with Pat. You had the vision to, and Chelsea, y'all had the vision to do this, and with Terry Hageman's help, Terry and Sherry. I'm telling you, God knows how to pass mantles, and He knows how to raise up people to fulfill what He wants to do. In the now. Yes. Now faith is. And I just want to say I really appreciate your commitment to it. Hard starting out, rough. But you guys stayed strong and stayed faithful. You know, all my life He has been faithful. I turned around and asked Pastor John, I said, have you ever known a time where God was not faithful to you? He said, no, never. You know, but also He is... He's going to be dedicating the women's shelter that is called Sandy Lee's Place. And it's over at where? Cliffside. The Old Country Plaza Restaurant. Right? Did I say that right?
Old Country Plaza Cafe.
Cafe. Yeah. So he's inviting everyone. There's a little bit of a ring. He's inviting everyone to... be a part of that. It's going to be 12:30 today, and we'll be dedicating that place. It'll be a women and children shelter, and also a help me
restaurant.
Yeah, and but it'll be for women and children, and they'll have a drug program to help them get off of drugs if they're on. I tell you what, God is looking after everybody. He really is. And I really thank God for this couple and for their faithfulness to do God's work. Let's give Him praise. Yeah. I'm going to share briefly on some things. I want you to go to 2 Timothy. It's almost like now we're going to go into this. Yeah. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm going to talk to you just a moment about, let's read the scripture, then I'll tell you. 2 Timothy chapter 3. But realize this, verse 1. But realize this, that in the last days, everybody say the last days. Well, I tell you, we're entering into those if we're not already in the middle of them. But he says the perilous times or difficult times will come. That's not a maybe. That is a definite. Difficult times will come. That word perilous, difficult, it actually means dangerous. There's going to be very dangerous times ahead. But, you know, we're the children of God, and we need to understand that we're in the middle of whatever's going on, whether it's difficult, dangerous, or it's glorious. We're still the children of God, and we still have His protection. We still have His calling. We still have His anointing to be able to push back and shine the light in the darkness. If there's ever a time the church must shine, it is now. It needs to shine at the election booth. It really does. It needs to shine at the election booth. He goes on and says, for men, he goes on and says, here's some of the danger. Here's some of the dangerous times. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable. And we have the ministry of reconciliation, and we will come into some people's presence, and they will be irreconcilable because they have made their minds up. They have set themselves. Malicious gossips without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now, you and I can go through all these and say, well, I don't do that. Well, I don't do that. Well, I'm not doing that, you know, but some people are, and a lot of people may be. But he doesn't, I don't want to talk about those items. But the next thing is what I want to talk about briefly this morning. And it says this in verse 5. Verse 1 again says, it's going to be a dangerous time in the last days. Very dangerous. Verse 5, because there will be people holding a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Holding a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Gehenna goes on and says, and avoid such men as these. Now, he doesn't say reject them. He doesn't say censor them. He doesn't say any of that. He said, you make it a point that this is not the people that you hang with. Now, let me tell you something. When you avoid engaging with what they're doing. You avoid engaging with the philosophy that says, well, look, we're godly. We're godly people. I go to church. I do this. I do that. We're godly. But in the fact, you know, the Bible says they have denied the power thereof. One of the dangers in these last days is people being called a church that has no power. Think of how dangerous that is. We are church, but we actually, this word deny does not mean to just refuse. It also means to set your life to live in contradiction of power. Even though you're going to hold on to a form of godliness. So you hold on to the form of godliness, but our lives are lived in contradiction to that godliness because there's no power in our lives to live it out. All we're doing is holding on to it. Does that make sense? See, because you want to see danger, see church that is hanging on to something that's external while internally we're doing, we are following things that is not God. And he's wanting us to, I mean, that's the reason that this came by the Holy Spirit to Paul, you know, to tell in Timothy, you need to understand that there's coming a time when all of this stuff is going to be going on. He said, now watch this. He said, they'll be holding on to God, a form of godliness. This thing, its form could be like a formula. When we begin to start hanging on to formulas, we're in the position to say, if it doesn't work out, it'll be okay. See, then my life begins to be lived in contradiction to the power that godliness produces. See, we should all be a people that is discerning enough to be able to see what is going on in the world, but also be followers of Christ enough that we can find out where we are on what we're holding on to and we're not living out. See, the gospel is beyond words.
Amen.
It includes words, but it is beyond the words. So the gospel is actually the power to be able to, it's powerful. It brings us to a place to living a godly life. To living at, why? Because it's the good news, and we saw it, we believed it, because we sang about our eyes are open. You know, they've been closed, but now our eyes are open. But he, you know, when we have a formula and we follow the form, we will not see the breakthrough because there's no power to break through. So we have to be careful not to celebrate the form of what we do. Are y'all with me? See, denominations are good, but denominations has some problems. When we hold the form of a man-made thing and we're not operating in the power that he said godliness should bring, then we're holding on to a form. You know, that's the reason when people say, you know, what denomination are you? I'm Christian. You know, I'm a follower of Christ in the kingdom. But what denomination are you? I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ in the kingdom. If we're anything, we're interdenominational. We got all kinds of people that comes. But if I begin to hold on to a form and grab hold of this form of godliness and yet live in contradiction to the power of godliness, then I'm fulfilling part of this verse. Now, we need to see that God's at work at making sure that we don't settle for a form. That's the reason when you begin to have things happen of a move of God, you can't hang on to it and say, let's do this again. Let's do this again next week. Y'all, well, I got a question. Did you do it this week? The answer is no. He did it. So if he wants to do it again, we should say, Father, we want you to do whatever you want to do, whatever that looks like. Amen. But if we hold to a form that it has to look like this, then we will negate the power that God wants to reveal because we're hanging on to something that's an external thing when he's wanting to do something that's greatly internal for us to be able to show forth the presence and the power of God in your life. And it's not going to look the same each time. Right. Jesus didn't heal the same each time. Right. Wouldn't you like to be the one that he made spittle and mud and just what? You know, you laugh about it, but if you were there and you were blind, you'll say, pick me. You know, but when you think about it, but no, he didn't do that for everybody. See, to do that for everybody is hanging on to a form. It's hanging on to a formula of godliness. See, the problem is we know Jesus heals. We had witness and testimony this morning that Jesus heals. Jesus delivers. But how many times does he heal through you and I? Through you and I. See, one of the things to prevent us from grabbing hold of a form is for us to be able to do what Jesus did, bless you, do what Jesus did. When he left heaven, the Bible said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? And then he came in the form of a man. And Philippians says it this way. He said, have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed, watch this, although he existed in the form of God, he is God. He did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. What does that mean? That means he was God from the beginning. He was God when he came. Right? He was God. Listen, he was God when he died. He was God when he was risen. But what does this mean? He emptied himself. He emptied himself of the things he possessed, of his God qualities of being able to just do whatever he wants at that time with all the power, with all that. He emptied himself. He never stopped being God. But he emptied himself of the privileges of that nature to be able to become 100% man. Still being God, he became 100%. Why would he do that? He wanted to be just like you and I, except without sin. So what did he need? He needed the power of the Holy Spirit upon him to be able to go and do the things, miracles that he did. See, he says he humbled himself. He became the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of man, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient. This is Jesus. He humbled himself by becoming obedient. He wasn't drawing the God card. You and I don't have one. So he put that privilege aside, emptied himself, laid it aside in order to be 100% man, even though he's still 100% God, to be how you and I are, that resembles a converted person who is completely dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Is that true? It's absolutely true. I want to pause and I want to say this. See, the Bible says that the things that he did, the books on this earth cannot contain it. And that was through a man that was one man through dependence, complete dependence upon the Holy Spirit for 3.5 years. Showing us the way to live completely dependent upon the Holy Spirit for the rest of our life after being born again. Getting to that place. Can you imagine what we could do? Jesus actually said, the things that I do, you're going to do greater things. That's what he's talking about. When you and I, being 100% human, man or woman, but yet we're carriers of his presence. Our spirit is new. All we have to do is completely depend upon the Holy Spirit being upon us, not just in us, but being upon us. You know, I think about that and I'm like, what would it be like if we captured that surrender? We talked about, you think I'm surrounded, but what I'm surrounded with is God. You think I'm being overwhelmed, but what I'm being overwhelmed with is God. See, God is wanting us to make sure that we find the place of humility to empty ourselves and be filled with Him. But we're not going to do that unless we get to the place of consciousness of God. The Bible says that when the Holy Spirit came upon him at his baptism, he came in the form of a dove and landed upon him. John says this, and remained. Jesus is walking. Somebody has told him about, I think it was a synagogue, a leader, a church leader, said, my daughter's dying. She's going to die. And he starts his journey to go there. And in the midst, crowd just begins to just crowd around him. Listen to this. Just press. And the Bible uses the word press. They just press against him. Just it gets bigger and bigger, and he just presses against him. This woman who's been sick for 12 years with an issue of blood. She's hemorrhaging for 12 years. I can't even fathom that she's still alive. She makes up her mind with her faith, and she said, she's heard about Jesus, so she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just get to him and touch the hem of his garment, I can be healed. She makes her way, probably down on the ground. She's probably so weak. She spent all of her money. She's been to every doctor in town and probably other towns, but nothing has happened for her benefit. She makes her way to this place where Jesus is walking, headed to a place that a girl is dying. You have to hear this. A daughter is dying. He's headed there, and she reaches and touches, and he turns. And what was his question? Who touched me? Now, how many people do you think was touching him? Everybody that was in proximity of him that was pressing. That's the reason the disciples turns and says, look at all these people. How are we going to know who touched you? And he realizes that it's her. And the Bible says that when she touched him, the hem, she was immediately healed. But what does Jesus realize? Jesus is so conscious. Listen to this. Jesus is so conscious of the presence of the Holy Spirit in his life, on him, that when that power begins to come from him to her, he notices it. There's a bunch of people touching, but there was only one of them that drew power from it. It was the touch of faith. It was the touch of hunger. It was the touch of desperation. It was the touch that she needed healing. Who touched me? A lot of people. Five or six people have been touching you. Maybe more than that. No. And he notices her. And then she actually begins to say, it was me. I've had this problem, and I just felt like if I could just get to you and do this, that I'd be healed. You know what he told her? Your faith. I want you to get up. Get up. She's down. And he says, I want you to get up. Your faith has made you whole. Not just healed. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Why is that? Her faith was strong enough to say, do you know how many people are that desperate out of these doors? Maybe not the same issue. Maybe not the same problem. But they're desperate. They're desperate. They're desperate. They just need something. Jesus was so conscious of the Holy Spirit on his life that when the withdrawal was made, he knew it. That's how conscious we need to be. Conscious of the Holy Spirit. So conscious. Here's the thing about it. We don't have a consciousness or awareness that God is able to do those things through us. Listen, if you allow me to use the word ignorant, we are ignorant of what we possess. And when we're unaware and ignorant of what we possess, we cannot release. I'm hungry. I'm not saying that because it's almost 20 minutes to 12. I'm hungry. I'm hungry to see the day that our conscious level of him being on us, not just in us. See, once again, we can hold to a form of our salvation, but don't have the power for our maturity. But we're hanging on to this. We're hanging on to the form of godliness, but we're denying the ability to be able to be used of God to deliver people, to heal people. Are y'all? Yeah. To speak to people, to set them free. Just a word in that moment. See, what we do, Jesus said this. Jesus said over in John, he said, the words that I give to you, watch this, the words that I give to you are spirit and they are life. Now, what did he mean by that? The words that I give to you, the words that I say to you are spirit and they are life. That means when he only, watch this, he only said what he heard the Father say. When you and I hear the Father and we say what the Father's saying, your words become spirit. When you say what the Father is saying, your words become spirit. What does that mean? Your words brings the presence of God through speech. When you say what the Father is saying, your words spoken releases the presence of God for this person to have an option. Their options are increased. And he says, and they are life. So they have an option to acknowledge his presence. They have an option to touch the life that is being presented to them. They are life. But they're only going to be when you and I say the words of the Father. Because that's what he was saying. Because Jesus said, the same things that I'm doing, you can do greater things. But see, we got to get around this thing saying, I don't know that I believe that. You know what we're hanging on to? A form that has no power. Because we're denying the ability for us to do greater things that he said we could do. Is this making sense? I've got to close. I know it's one of those time things. Before I do, James and John, isn't it James and John? They're on the way to pray. Isn't it them? They're on the way. Isn't it James and John? Is it, or is it Peter? I think. I've got 20 people talking, and I don't believe anybody's listening. Who was it? It was Peter and John. Well, it was simple. It was Peter and John. They're on their way to pray at the ninth hour. Is that right? They don't have any money. This man begging for money, begging for money, begging for money, begging for money. Now, this is not Jesus. This is two disciples. We need money. I need money. I need money. I've been lame since birth. What do they say? They say, fix your eyes on us. Look at us. Now, I think some of that is, can't you tell that we ain't got no money? That's a human side of it. Look, do we look like we got money? No, but I said, look at us. No, they had a different way in mind. Now, look at us. Fix your eyes. Look at us. We don't have silver. We don't have gold. Watch this. But what we have, we're going to give to you. What are they conscious of that they have? They're conscious that they do not have money. But they're also conscious of what else? They're conscious of the power of God in their life. And what they have is the power of God operating in their life. And they said, such as we have, we're going to give to you. Get up and walk. And he reaches down. Let me have your hand. She's like this. Nuh-uh. He reaches down, pulls him up. You get to get up and walk. You can't. This is a duo. Reaches down and grabs him and brings him and starts, and they start walking. They continue walking because they're going to go pray. She's going to go with them. What made that happen? Thank you so much. What made that happen was they were conscious of the power that they could give to this man to be healed, and it was in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. No, well, that's just for them. That's just a teaching that keeps you holding on to a form and denying power for you today. That's true. I'm telling you the truth. It's for you. It's for me. And we need to rise up with our consciousness all of our lives and be conscious that the Spirit of God is with us and on us, and that when the need arises, we ought to step into that moment. But the reason we're so fearful to do it is because we don't know what we possess. We're not aware of what we possess at that moment. Therefore, plus pride can get in the way, and Jesus humbled himself. Just humble yourself and enter into it, and it'll make the difference in your life and make the difference in the lives of those that you will encounter, because your consciousness of his presence with you. You're going to overcome a lot of things that wants to hinder you and I from stepping into the very power of God that is available for us if we understand what he's given us and we're aware of it. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's stand. Well, that's the introduction. So we'll get into it some other time. Here's something. There's power to change your life today. If you're living in darkness, there's power available for you today. There's a presence available for you today, because some of the words that I spoke was from the Father, right? Really. And when that's done, presence is released, and the power for all life to live has been released as well. So we have options. We have options to obey it. We have options to reject it. Is that true? I'd say we need to obey it. We need to latch on to it. We need to say, yes, God, take me further than I currently am. Take me beyond. I don't even know where you're about to take me, but I'm ready to go. I'm ready to step out and take the risk of saying what you're saying so that your presence will be released because it's spirit. Your words become spirit. And your words become life for other people to make better options. So if you're one of those who is walking in darkness, you have not received Christ ever. You might have pretended to. You might have went through it on religion. See, holding form will take you to a place of religion. So if that's you, I want you to raise your hand. You need to receive Christ today if that's you. Anybody, just lift your hand. All right, we're all family here. Amen? Amen. So how many of you are ready to say, yes, God? Yes, God. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the richness of your word. Lord, this has been such a wonderful day for me to be with your people, to enter into worship with you, to you, and with them. And God, I'm just so grateful that we have an opportunity to do things that are beyond our wildest imagination if we just stay conscious of you. Help us to stay conscious of you. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things you're going to have to stop doing is praying for things that you already have. It'll keep you from praying things that you need to pray. So if you pray, Lord, be with me today. He's already with you. Y'all got that? All right. Thank you, online streamers. It's great to have you today. Come on back next week and join us again. God bless you, church. 12:30 at County Plaza Cafe. Country Plaza Cafe. God bless you. You're free to go.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.